two-bit paper pusher. Yes, I know you. And he was embarrassed to death. He didn't know what to do. So he went across the defense attorney and said, do you know him? Well, of course I know him, your defense attorney. I've known Mr. Bradley since he was this little kid, too. He's a bigot. He has a drinking problem. He can't build a normal relationship with anyone. His law practice is one of the worst in the entire state. Not to mention he cheated on his wife 3 times. One of them was with your wife. The defense attorney about nearly died. What am I going to do? So the judge says, you guys come over here a minute. He put his hand on the mic and says, if either one of you idiots asks she knows me, I'll send you to the electric chair. All right, this is not the message, but I want you to turn to James chapter 1. That wasn't the message either. James chapter 1. We started the camp meeting 29 years ago for a purpose. My purpose, Brother Alkus and Brother Seymour and I, we're all three here today. We sat in Brother Alkus's office and discussed it. And what I want to do is try to get the preachers that believe the book together. And twice this week we've had a dozen preachers or more that believe this book from cover to cover get together. Right now we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of us here already, and I'm sure some more will be coming. So that's been a good success. And also I want to get the churches to fellowshipping together. We're in a world that doesn't like us.
Right.
And it's good that we can get together as God's people and just right. fellowship. And I wanted, the third reason I wanted was to hear the word.
Amen.
I brought Southern preachers up, and Brother Owen will probably bring Canadian preachers, but he's in charge now. But I just wanted the word preached and hear the word. This week, has anybody heard the word this week? That's been time with us?
Yeah.
Amen. You folks back here, did you hear the word this week?
Yes.
You folks hear the word this week? Brother Owens, you heard the word this week?
Amen.
Y'all heard the word? Of course, some of you wasn't in this, hadn't able to travel, but you're here today. So I want to look at James chapter 1. I'm going to call your attention to two words in a portion. We've all heard the word this week. I have, and you have. We heard it preached forcefully. Sunday after Sunday from this pulpit, the word is preached. I want to call attention to two words. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if a man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, where he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. I tell you what, after my operation, when I look in the mirror, I want to forget what I see in the mirror. But whoso looketh to the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man is blessed in his deed. Years and years I've quoted this verse wrong. The last word there is not word. It's work, W-O-R-K. So I want to call your attention to the word doers of the word. We'll call you to be doers of the work.
Right.
That's what that says. God's pleased when we have them together in a building like this, Sunday after Sunday, or in a camp meeting, and rejoice and say amen, and hear the music that we didn't hear today, and hear the preaching. And we go out those doors, what are we going to do with it? Majority of sermons are left in the building.
Right.
And not done anything done with them. Yeah. Doers of the work. I don't know how many times I quote that and say doers of the word. No, it says doers of the work, W-R-K. So you come in to hear the word, and you go out and do the work. One of my favorite preachers, turn to Psalm 126. We'll get to the message after prayer in a moment. We was discussing in the car, come over, different old-time preachers. One of my favorites was Dr. John R. Rice. I got to know him. If you ever signed your Bible, he'd put Psalm 126, 5 and 6. When John Rice died, they buried him at the Bill Rice Ranch. I've been to the grave. If you go in the ranch, you go up on the right-hand side, up on the hill there, you'll find his grave. And on the tombstone, they forgot to put those verses, Psalm 126, 5 and 6. So they hired a man to come out and chisel it on. One of the workers in the ranch, and I've talked to him, he told me the story. He saw them up there working, so he went up to see what they were doing. They were chiseling that in, so he stood there and watched them. The fellow got back, did it, backed up, looked at it, man, real nice work. He said, "What's that mean?" So the worker said, "That was Dr. John R. Rice's favorite verse." And he said, "Sit down, let me talk to you about it." So John Rice, after he's in heaven, at his grave, a man got saved.
Amen.
These verses, Psalm 125. 126, 5 and 6. I'll get that 500 sooner or later. I want to speak today on the soul-winning psalm. The soul-winning psalm. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll speak to my heart today. And Lord, it's easy for us to come in and hear the word and go out and forget it. Probably if our life depended on it, we couldn't tell you what the preachers preached on yesterday. But Lord, we need to let it penetrate our mind and our heart and be a doers of the work, not just a hearer of the word and forget all about it. Help us today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your place there and go to Psalm 137 for a moment. Psalm 137. This is when they went into captivity. And they're being carried away. It says, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. And they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they said that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" I mean, they're being carried away captive, and they're Babylon said, "Sing us one of your songs." So we can't sing the Lord's song in a strange land. That's going away. Now in Psalm 126, they're back. They got back. These are not chronological order. They're back in the land now.
Right.
Here's the picture of Psalm 126. They're out in the field. They've got their bag of seeds, and they're sowing them. And some of them, boy, they're so happy to be back. They're looking all over the land. They've got the rocks out of the fields, and they're rejoicing. But some of them throwing the seeds, and they're weeping. This is not what it used to be. This is not what it used to be. Some are rejoicing. Some are weeping. But he said, if you go forth, the important thing is you're sowing, not your attitudes. You ought to have the right attitude. You ought to rejoice. But even if you're weeping, you go forth weeping, sowing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his shoes with him.
Amen.
We will not get everybody saved you speak to, but you will get some.
Amen.
You will get some. Mm-hmm. Our job is not to do the saving. Our job is to do the sowing. God does the saving.
Yes.
I tell you, I've been so encouraged this past week. The different ones come to me. A lady up in Eden, I remember the event. It's about 4 years ago, her husband, a Jew, came down there and got saved. I got down with him, helped deal with him. And he died last year. His widow came to me this past Sunday. Now, you know, some people express it differently. I didn't try to correct her. She said, "Thank you for saving my husband." You think I felt bad about that? Can you imagine up in heaven, somebody coming up to you, Brother Artie, saying, "Because of you, I'm here." What a blessing that's going to be.
Right.
Last summer in Mount Union, Pennsylvania, I've been away from there 36 years now. I'm sitting in the restaurant there, and by the way, don't ever do this to a preacher. This woman came up to me and a couple of kids said, "You know me?" "No." She said, "I'm one of your bus kids. You picked me up on a bus and I got saved and you paid my way to camp." Can you imagine up in heaven, Dave, somebody coming to you? "Hey, I was one of your bus kids. I was one of your Sunday school kids.
Right.
I endured Pastor Alcus's preaching. I got saved." That's going to be great up there, folks. But if we're going to see that, there's certain this psalm must be put to practice. Yes. Notice what it says, he that goeth forth. He that goeth forth. Soul winning, getting folks saved, requires effort.
Right.
I was telling Dave about a Sunday school teacher, said, well, I don't think that's knock on doors, just live the life, they'll see you. No, that's not what the Bible says.
Right.
He that goeth forth. All right, let's just see. Is that what the Bible teaches? All right, take your Bible. We're going to do some turning. Go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Before Jesus went back to heaven, he had something to say to the disciples. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Well, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. You don't have to go in your own power. Go ye therefore. Notice that therefore. What's the therefore, therefore? Refer back to what he just said. Because I've given you the power. Then go ye. I don't go out in the power and lay on foot, and you don't go in your own power.
Right.
It's the power of God, the Holy Spirit working through you. A woman came up to hear me preach in West Virginia. Her husband told the preacher next day, what did that preacher say to my wife? Said, just preach the pulpit. Said, she tossed, turned all night. Said, I can't get away from it. What she can get away from? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Go ye therefore. All right, let's go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Verse 15. And he said to them, go ye into all the world. Is Erie, Pennsylvania part of the world?
Right.
It's a place where you live. Place is Washington, Pennsylvania. Is Franklin. Is that part of the world?
Sure.
Go ye. Is Tifton part of the world? Sometimes I wonder when I'm trying to get there. I mean, I drive and drive and drive and drive and finally I find it. It's part of the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus said that. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Verse 46. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. John chapter 20 and verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Why did Jesus come? He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And he said, just like the Father sent me, I'm sending you. I'm sending you. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be. I'm still hearing old John Rice behind the pulpit saying, that's military terms. It's not if and or maybe. Ye shall be.
Right.
No question about it, which is unto me. Both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. This pious deacon said to me once, well, that's the church's job. I said, you're right. Who's the church?
Right.
I said, look in the mirror. You see part of the church.
Amen.
And go in all the world. There are three tremendous charges if you're not going, not trying to win souls. According to John 15:5, you're not abiding in Christ. Because he said, if you abide in me, you'll bring forth fruit. So if you're not bringing forth fruit, you must not be abiding in Christ. So that's the first charge. Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. If you're not fishing for men, you must not be following Christ. The third charge is simply this. You're not obeying the last thing Jesus said before he went back to heaven. Acts 1:8.
Right.
Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Heard a preacher preach on this once. He said, if you're not winning souls, there's three reasons. If you're not trying to win somebody to Christ, there's three reasons you're not doing. Number one, You don't believe in hell. You don't believe in hell. You and I have loved ones. We've got neighbors. We've got people we know. Do we really believe that they're going to burn forever in a lake of fire? Has that really got a hold of us? It's good to see Brother Fred Helmick here. He can verify this story if his memory works. Back years and years ago, when I was with you in meetings, this hippie with long hair was in a trailer. It caught on fire. Remember that? And he just lay on the couch. The neighbor went over and had to kick the door down, grab the hair of the head, and pull him out. Kicking and screaming. He won't come out. Remember that? I remember who did it. I almost used him as an illustration when he was sitting in your church last year. But I wonder if he witnessed to him. I mean, if this house next door here somewhere was on fire and you looked out the window, you'd interrupt this service. Go beat on the door. Come out!
Right.
But they're going to be in a fire worse than that if they don't get saved. They're going to burn forever.
Sure.
Now, I speak this to our shame. I'm sure Brother Donnie can tell you this. When I started evangelism back in the 1950s, in fact, 1954, I'd go to a church and we'd go out and knock on doors.
Right.
In the last 5 years, I've been in church after church. Don't knock on doors anymore. I'll never forget when Brother George and I would go to house and knock this door in this Catholic. I dropped my tracks. I bent over, she opened the door and looked around. And I stood up, scared her to death. Didn't scare her long enough to get her in church, though. But folks, we've lost something in our churches. We've lost that desire to go. He that goeth for us. Man, we want to see people come in, walk down the aisle and get saved. Hey, that's great. How are you going to get them here? We'll put up, build a church, ring a bell, and open the doors to come in. No. When I grew up as a teenager, pastor used to say from the pulpit over, if we go, they'll come. If we don't go, they're not going to come. And that's still true.
Right.
That's still true, Brother Ronnie. We got to go after them. We got to knock on those doors. We got to run those buses.
Sure.
You ought to see the kids he brings in on a bus. I have to settle them down. But every year we see some walk out and get saved. Why? Because going. He that goeth forth, the wise will obey. When a soul is wise, and they that be wise shall shine the brightness of firmament as stars forever and ever. He that goeth forth. But I've heard this, and you probably have too, that's the preacher's job. That's the evangelist's job. That's the missionary's job. I'm not called. Let's just say in the middle of Highway 90 there's a huge hole. And cars that come down there, they hit the brakes, crash down, and the fire comes up. Here comes another car along the man. He puts the brakes too late, crash, he's down there. Here's Lynn, crash. And here's this fellow, man and wife, just sitting over there watching it. Sitting in a chair, maybe drinking some iced tea. Hey, why don't you warn those people? We don't work for PennDOT. It's not our job. You throw them in there. You see somebody perishing, it's our job to rescue the perishing.
Right.
And care for the dying. How long since you talked to your unsaved neighbor? They don't want to hear it. They need to hear it whether they want to or not.
Sure.
I've been run off. I've been chased off. You see, somebody heard and tell the story. And I'm not sure whether Ronnie was with me or not, but up in Talkeetna, this fellow right across from the church, mean guy in a wheelchair on oxygen. We'd visit around. I said, why don't we visit that fellow sitting on the porch? He said, Brother, what you doing with his there? He hates the church. He hates preachers. If you go there, he'll chase you off. Brother Artie, I said, I haven't been chased off in a while. Let's go. That big old, he's a big guy. About a little bit bigger than Brother Helmick. Big, about the kind of size. I mean, big old guy, old, maybe in his 60s, 70s. That's young now. But I didn't tell him I was a preacher. He knows he had moose heads. Hey, I see you're a hunter. Where'd you kill that moose? Man, he told me. Man, he bragged about how he got that moose. And that fish, where'd you catch that? He said, I was out on him. Tell me all about it. We talked about 20 minutes. And I finally got my nerve. I said, I'm preaching at that little church right over there tonight. I said, I'm preaching on how to get to heaven by good looks. Wouldn't you like to come see? No, church. He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. That night, they rolled him in a wheelchair right down in the middle aisle. He sat there, oxygen tank here, oxygen tank there. Now, remember, he hates preachers. He hates the church. I preached on, take a good look at Jesus, take a good look at yourself, and take a good look at Calvary. He threw one tank there, and rolled down the aisle. That's a holy roller. He rolled right into the kingdom of God. Now, I could have said, well, if he hates preachers, maybe I don't go up there. Nobody likes to get run off. Anybody here from West Virginia? I knocked on the pastor sat in the car and said, you go to that house. I should have got a clue, Brother Owen. Something wrong there. This good guy with his big old beard belly came out there and said, yeah, what do you want? I said, I'm going to see how I put, get out of here. I said, preacher, get out of here. Can I give you a track? Get out of here. What'd I do? I got out of there. So I got the car. The preacher said, did he shoot at you? I said, now you tell me. But you know, I got his mailbox, had his name, address on it. I wrote everything down, sent him a correspondence course through the mail. I hope maybe I see him in heaven someday. Where to go? Where to go? This kid grew up in this little town in Ninda, I think. Him and his neighbor, they were friends all their life. As he got off to college, he went to Christian college, his friend went to state school. They met, his friend was an atheist, and he was a preacher. He tried to witness to him. Now, that's for you, that's not for me. The years passed. Every time he saw him, that had been his best friend growing up. He tried to tell him, nah, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. The atheist was dying, and the preacher went to see him. And said, I'd like to tell you about the Lord. He said, well, I don't believe in that. He said, I'll tell you what, though. If I did believe it, and you're my friend, I'd crawl across on my hands and knees across glass to get to you to tell you about it. Right. He said, you hadn't told me in years. You hadn't told me in years. He that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls. Ezekiel 22:30. God said, I sought for a man to make up the hedge. With all the sad words, I found none. I wonder if he's seeking for a man in your area to talk to that neighbor. He that goeth forth, it takes effort. I mean, I'd much rather sit in my lazy boy chair. I think David knows our neighbor. The old man lived there. He and I got to be friends. He was a good Christian man. We always had good fellowship. His son, I'm not talking about David. His son's a lunatic. His son's crazy. He talks to people in his face. He goes out on spaceships. And my son, Barry, who lives right next to him there, he said, Dad, don't try to talk to that fellow. Stay away from that guy. He's crazy. He said, I saw him out there talking to a tree. He said, stay away from that guy. Don't talk to him. So to my shame, Brother Barron, I did. I didn't talk to him. I stayed away from him. One Memorial Day, I was out in my yard. There's this little patch of trees. It was until the day before yesterday, I think, I cut them all out of there. Patch of trees, 22 houses. He was out there maybe talking to a tree. So I went out there and said, hi, Leroy. I said, hi. I'm Leon Foote. I'm your dad's friend. He said, I know who you are. I said, Leroy, has anybody ever showed you how to be saved? Brother Terrell, you know what he said to me? I didn't think you cared. I didn't think you cared. Well, what a dart in my heart. I didn't think you cared. He had a porch swing. I said, let's go sit on that swing. I took my Bible, went through. I'm not sure he understood and got saved, but his wife came out, she got saved, and she's still going off to the Lord. He's in a hospital for the mentally retarded right now. But I'll never forget what he said. I didn't think you cared.
Right.
I wonder if any neighbor could say that. He that goeth forth. Not just to hear the word, but a doer of the work. He that goeth forth. How long since you tried? It takes effort. It's getting off that lazy chair. It's inviting me to go out for a cup of coffee with you. It's having over for lunch. It's getting on the telephone inviting me to come to church with you. I'll come by and pick you up. I'll take you. Where's Donnie? You got saved because a neighbor came, right? And the neighbor's wife came over. It takes effort. It says, he that goeth forth. Now next, and weepeth. Concern. Because we care. Why should we care? Somebody cared for us. I don't know the name of the man that led me to the Lord. I'm going to look him up in heaven. He was a Nazarene. But he told me how to get saved. He came and got me, took me to Sunday school, led me to the Lord in the backseat of a station wagon. I'm going to look up and say, hey, where's that Nazarene fellow? He got in with a Baptist. Where is he? He cared. Christians need a concern. Jeremiah wept over Jerusalem. Moses stood between Israel and God and said, just blot me out of the book. He's going to blot them out. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Paul wept over Ephesus. And yet we stand dry-eyed while our cities, people die one by one by one by one and drop into hell, screaming and crying. Hear the cry from heaven. Listen today. Who will go for us? Who can we send? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Hear the cry all around the town. No man careth for my soul. Hear the cry from beneath. Go tell my brother, lest he come to this horrible place of torment. I dare say there's people in the area of Pennsylvania that's died and gone to hell this year. That if they could get the word to this church, they say, go tell my brothers, go tell my sisters, go tell my relatives. There's people in Locust Grove that's died this year, Brother Hart Terrell.
Yes, sir.
And if they could cry back to you, they say, go tell them!
Right.
Nobody in hell wants others to come there. People on earth may tell somebody to go to hell. People in hell don't tell anybody to go there. Go tell my brothers. Thinking of hell should cause us to have a broken heart. Hear their cry, go tell my brothers. Paul in Romans chapter 9 said something I can't say. He said, I could wish myself accursed that my brothers might get saved. I can't really pray that prayer. But I want God to give me a compassion like he had. Seeing them lost, hear their cries, they drop into hell. The Bible says, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. It cost something. We're to simply go out with compassion because we care. John Rice spoke at Dallas Theological Seminary. He said that on the block there, he was staying in one house. One of the teachers stayed there. There was a man living there. Didn't know who he was. And there was a teacher there, and the school was there. He said, going to speak every day, walked right past this fellow out in his yard, working in the garden or something, working in his flower bed. He'd speak to him, say hi, and go on. He said, about the third or fourth day, the fellow was out there, and he started a conversation with him. He said, let me ask, how long have you been saved? The fellow said, I'm not saved. He said, one of the professors lives there, the college there, and you're not saved? Why not? John Ross said, the fellow looked up and said, nobody ever asked me.
Right.
Nobody ever asked me. Could your neighbor say that? Nobody ever asked me. Nobody ever told me. In Matthew 13, we're to sow the seed. Some will fall by the wayside. The devil will snatch it. Won't do any good. But it'll do you good because you're obeying the Lord. It don't produce fruit, but it helps you. Some fall among thorns. They choke it out. They choke it out. And some get on rocky places, and you've seen this, and I have too. Boy, they'll come all out gung-ho, but where'd they go? They do it for a little while, but from that they fall away. But some will get saved. I want you to turn to a verse in your Bible. It's in let's see if I can find it here. It's in the book of Haggai, right towards the end of your Bible there. Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2. I'm going to tell something to my daughter-in-law just a little bit. So get ready. I want you to underline 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about 6 words, 7 words in verse 19. Haggai 2, 19. Is the seed yet in the barn? Is the seed yet in the barn? I notice that track rack out there is full. The track rack in your churches are full. They ought to be emptied out at least once a month. That's the seed.
Right.
Hey, you got a beautiful barn here. But as long as the seed's in the barn, it's not going to get anybody saved. It's got to get out in the field. Here's this farmer, man. He's got a barn full of corn seeds. And there's a field out there. And as long as it stays in the barn, it's not going to produce anything. Here's a church got a good track ministry. But as long as those tracks stay on track, they're not going to do any good. At our deaf camp, this must have been 5 or 6 years ago. We got in there on Saturday. And I got there early. And Becky wanted to go to the store. I was tired, so I don't want to go to the store. You know what she did? She got Linda Hicks. They teamed up on me. We got to go to the store. I didn't want to go to the store. They said, we don't know where it is. You have to drive us. I don't know what Dave was doing, but I said, okay, I'll drive you. I didn't want to, but I did. So I drove them down through town, out to the store, and stopped the store, and they went, I was just sitting in the car and fumed. But finally I got out, went in, and there's this young man, maybe in his early 20s, at the cash register. I pulled out one of my tracks and gave him one of my tracks. I didn't do any good, but look, because I'm upset. But I gave him a track. Beck and them got their stuff and went back to the camp. About 30 minutes later, my wife called me. She's down in Georgia. She said, some fellow called me and said, this old man gave him his paper. He read it and prayed the prayer and got saved. I said, Becky, let's go to town. Just one little track, but God used it. Listen, you don't know what that track's going to accomplish. You go, don't leave the seed in the barn. Get it out of the barn. And just north of the Baseball Hall of Fame, little town there, I gave a track to a lady sitting right on the porch across the church. The next day, Pastor and I were there, and she's sitting on the porch. She's got this track open, looking at it. She said, hey, preacher. I said, she said, what's all this mean? She's a Episcopal, found out later. She didn't have a pastor, she had a pastoress, a woman pastor. So what's all this mean? I sat down beside her and went through that verse after verse that's in my tract. She bowed her head and asked the Lord to save her. She came to church that night. I preached on hell. She asked him at the door, do Baptists always preach like this? She said, come back and see. Today she's an active member of that church. Why? Just one little track. Now, they don't all produce like that, but some will. It's not our... The Bible says, blessed he that soweth beside all waters. Some will produce, and some won't. But we don't know which ones will, which one won't. So, Brother Hill, it's our responsibility to give them out. I've had two or three tracts cussed at me and thrown back. Only two or three out of thousands I've given out. On a street meeting down in Florida this past July, August, giving out a tract, he walked down, the preacher had loud, Bill Bullhorn preaching through it. Fellow took the tract, looked at it, threw it over his shoulder. The preacher said, "Hey, mister, you're going to see that tract again at the judgment seat." And he will. Some will throw them away, but some will read them. Lady in Greenville, South Carolina, picked up one out of a mud hole, read it, and got saved, read it to her kids, they got saved. She said, "I know why I call her track. It tracked me to God, tracked my kids, and right now it's tracking my husband." Just one track. Is the seed yet in the barn? Let's get it out of the barn. Soul winning requires effort. He that goeth forth and weepeth, a concern. Bearing precious seed, the Word of God. Jude says, some have compassion, making a difference. Jesus in Matthew 9, Matthew 15, Matthew 20, Mark 1, Mark 6, and Mark 8 had compassion. He cared. Do we? The songwriter says, "Set us afire, Lord. Stir us, we pray. While this world perishes, we go our way. Purposeless, passionless, day after day. Set us afire, Lord. Stir us, we pray." Soul winning requires the equipment. Let's go to Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. For the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, we've seen that, and return not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things where I send it. Hey, is that a promise? I think it is. So, brother, our responsibility is just give it out and let God prosper it. By the way, I've said many times, I appreciate it. I got some great friends up here. Did my heart see Brother Nutt come in, Brother Helmick. And if I start naming preachers, I'll forget some. And of course, Brother Alk is one of the best friends I have up here. I appreciate him. And Brother Ronnie, we've been friends now from, I don't know, ever since Noah got off the ark. And what's his name, Terrell? I knew him many years ago and we just become friends again, I think. But we're a soul. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word is like is powerful, it's alive and powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Let it do the work. But as long as the seed's in the barn, it's not going to do any work in here. Got to get the seed out of the barn. The answer to the problems is this word. Give them the word. It'll answer every argument they want. You can argue with them, just give them the word. My friend Barry Foster was maybe just about 5'2" or 5'3". He was kind of skinny. He was a real person worker. We were on the streets in Mobile, Alabama once. And I said, "Brother, come over here, brother. Right. I'll demonstrate something." This big old Marine, I mean, he must have been 300 pounds, big old guy. And little Barry's down here, and that guy, and Barry says, "It's one man wants to die on earth in judgment. If one man wants to die on earth in judgment." That guy, boy, and after a while, he kind of wilted, backed off. I mean, he's about ready to whoop Barry. He just gave one verse over and over and over again. "It's one man wants to die, and after this is judgment." Thank you.
How'd I do?
You did pretty good. We'll give him a B anyway. But what wealth did that mean? It wasn't very size. It was the word of God.
Right.
The word of God. Give them the word. Shall doubtless come again. I graduated from high school. I was not a witness. I was not a good Christian in high school. I got right from the Lord at Bob Jones University. When Bob Jones Sr. leaned over that pulpit, pointed his finger right at me and says, "You slimy little fox, you need to get right with God." I said, "Who, me?" And I did. But Gladys Davies was in my graduating class. We weren't girlfriends and boyfriends. We were just good friends. I held a revival meeting just in Red Hill, Alabama. It's not far from Howard College, Southern Baptist School. Gladys went to Howard College. She came Sunday night. I preached on soul winning. Gladys stood back by the door, and she said, "Leon, I'd like to win somebody, Lord, but I don't know how." I said, "Gladys, are you saved?" "Oh, yes, I got saved a long time ago." I said, "How'd you get saved? You know how you got saved?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Someone gets saved the same way you just..." I said, "Paul gave his testimony. Just tell them how you got saved, and they get saved the same way." She said, "Thank you," and left. Now, in school, she couldn't come back Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday morning. But Sunday night, she was late. I'm not going to use somebody's illustration. She came in late, stood at the door, and she had a smile from... I can't do it anymore. From ear to ear. And she looked like... she was bouncing. She was so happy. I couldn't hardly wait to get through preaching. I thought, "What's wrong with that woman?" So I went back there, and she was just bouncing. She said, "Boy, it worked. It worked." I said, "What worked?" "You told me how to get somebody saved." She said, "I had 38 girls saved this week." I said, "How'd you do it? Tell me." I just simply told them how I got saved, and I got saved the same way I did.
Right.
He that goeth forth, he's going to go, he's concerned, bearing precious seed, the word of God, getting the seed out of the barn. What's that next? Shall doubtless,
right,
no doubt about it, come and give a rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I bring it up to heaven together. What a day that's going to be. I got an email from Alan Valvoy, that lived out in Alaport. I forget his first name. Martin. Almost came to me. I got an email from him. He said, "Thank you for leading me to the Lord in the lunchroom at school." I didn't know anything about it, but he remembered it. I saw him not long ago. He came and shook my hand. You'll doubtless get some. If you make an effort. But you won't get any if you don't make an effort. Driving through Canada, back several years ago now, you may have heard the man. Heard a preacher on the radio giving testimony. He said there was a preacher on the Titanic named John Harper. He was coming to America to take the Moody Memorial Church as pastor. He said when the Titanic was sinking, he looked, John Harper was right beside the rail with his Bible leading the young man to the Lord. He said the ship sunk. He said, "I was in the water holding on to the board, holding on for dear life. And look, here was John Harper holding on to the board." He said, "John Harper looked at him and said, 'Man, are you saved?' He said, 'No.' He said, 'John Harper said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.' He said, about the time a wave took him away." He said, "I got to think about this, holding that board. He said, "Well, look, there's John Harper again." He said, "Man, are you saved yet?" I said, "No." He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." And he went under. He's there holding that board. "I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ." And then he said this. He said, "I'm the last convert of John Harper." I got a question. Who's your last convert? Who's the last person that you led to the Lord? Brother, I ought to get a song ready. A more important question than that, Brother George, is simply this. Who will be your next convert? Let's all stand. Maybe just have the pianist play something. And I tell you what, everybody here can think of somebody that needs to be saved. So let's just come to this altar and pray. Call out that name to God. And ask God to save him. I've got an unsaved brother still. I'm going to kneel up here and pray for him. Just come to this altar and pray for that person. Ask God to save him.